Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may not know this about me, but I love mittens. I don't get the opportunity to wear them much anymore, but when I moved to North Carolina several years ago and got rid of all my wool sweaters, I just couldn't bring myself to get rid of my mittens. They are so cozy, and although this pair is very, very worn, I thought this morning I should dig out my pink mittens to wear to church for Gaudete Sunday, where we light the pink or the rose-colored candle symbolizing the joy that we have in God on our Advent wreath. We call this Gaudete Sunday because in Latin, Gaudete means rejoice, and that is the first word of the passage we read this morning from Philippians. Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Gaudete in the Lord always, again I say Gaudete. So for Gaudete Sunday, in addition to my pink shoes and my pink stole, I thought I might wear my pink mittens. Here's something else you may not know about me. Long before you could stream an entire television series, even before you could buy a box set of a television series, I spent many an afternoon watching reruns of The Golden Girls. I almost wanted us to sing this, the theme song, but I thought, well, we gotta squeeze this sermon into a few less minutes. But I loved watching The Golden Girls. And when I was in college, and yes, this dates me, but when I was in college, one by one, each season came out on DVD. And so every time a new season was available, you better bet that I was at Target that day getting my little box of a season for The Golden Girls. I loved Dorothy and Sophia and Blanche and Rose. Even at a young age, I was captivated by the friendships that they shared, how they became like family. As I watched those DVDs over and over and over again, I studied their friendships with one another. I did the same thing as I read the series Anne of Green Gables, right? Anne and Diana were kindred spirits, and later Anne and Leslie, and I love that word, that phrase, kindred spirits. I've also studied the friendships of the women in the movie Steel Magnolias and in the movie Beaches. I wanted a Cece. I feel like I'm Hillary, a little serious. I wanted a Cece. And most recently, I have been studying the friendship of Grace and Frankie. I think what captivates me so much about the friendships of these different characters is that it gives witness to what we all long for, to what we all need, and to what we all want in our lives. We want relationships with deep connection. We long for the beauty of knowing somebody and for being known in return. We long to be accepted for who we are, quirks and all. We long for the joy that comes in a relationship that happens when you experience, yes, the ordinary joys, but also the big joys of life together. The power of having somebody share your joys and accomplishments, having someone to cheer you on, even in the everyday, ordinary parts of life. And certainly we all long for a kind of relationship where someone shows up for you in difficult times, whether it's a big difficult time or a not so difficult time. We want someone to show up for us in the midst of that and to be with us and to help us get through. I very clearly remember the autumn afternoon when I first sat with the story of Mary and Elizabeth. Their encounter is also known as the Visitation. That afternoon, I read over this story again and again, and I pored over commentaries, wanting to absorb as much as I could about their relationship and their encounter. I couldn't get enough because I was so deeply moved by their encounter with one another. And even to this day, when this text rolls around, I love to get lost in it again. You see, Mary had just received the perplexing, more accurately translated, the terrifying news that she would bear the Messiah. The Holy Spirit came upon her, and God's might overshadowed her. And just like that, the Creator of the world was being created in her body. The angel Gabriel also told Mary that her cousin, who was decades older than she, was pregnant, and that Elizabeth was in her sixth month of pregnancy. After her famous, "Let it be unto me as you have said," after offering her heart and her mind and her body to partner with God in God's unfolding promise to mend the world, Mary, with haste, traveled to see Elizabeth. And bless Luke for giving us this late Advent pre-Christmas gift that we get to witness in this first encounter of these two women. When Elizabeth first sees Mary, who would certainly not have been showing yet, before Mary tells her what's happening or what has happened, the Holy Spirit reveals to Elizabeth Mary's situation, and Elizabeth's response is beautiful. She offers an affirming and celebratory greeting. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why has this happened to me, that the mother of my Lord comes to me? For as soon as I heard the sound of your greeting, the child in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her by the Lord." I imagine these two huddled together in the warmest, most comforting and joyful and warm embrace as they hold on to one another, singing and laughing in joy and astonishment. And blessed are we that we get to witness this intimate moment between the two of them. This moment when God brings two pregnant women together and they both acknowledge the work of the Spirit in one another. And not only do they acknowledge it, they celebrate the work of the Spirit in one another. Elizabeth becomes the first human to bear witness to the good news that the angel Gabriel spoke to Mary. And Mary offers her presence and her encouragement to Elizabeth. In each other, God gives them community and connection. Both of their pregnancies were unexplainable to anyone else, but each other understood the other. And they accepted one another in those circumstances without hesitation. And then when they were together in one another's presence, the Holy Spirit helped them to understand what was happening to them and to understand more fully and more deeply that each of them was part of something that was much bigger than themselves. This interaction is beautiful because there's no competition between these two women, just celebration. Right, we've all heard that comparison is the thief of joy. And neither Mary nor Elizabeth will let comparison steal their joy. Elizabeth, not even for one second, compares herself or her situation to Mary's. Instead, she wholeheartedly welcomes Mary into her heart and into her arms and into her home. She wholeheartedly acknowledges the work of the Holy Spirit in Mary's life and in her body. And she blesses Mary. This is her response. She blesses Mary. She's not jealous of Mary. She's not resentful of Mary. She rejoices with her and blesses her with words that I'm certain Mary held in her heart for the remainder of her life. Oh, that we would have Elizabeths and Marys in our lives, and that we would be Elizabeths and Marys to others, discovering what the Holy Spirit is doing in others and putting words to it and celebrating it with them and blessing them for who they are and for the work that God is doing in their lives. Sisters and brothers, in this last stretch of Advent, 9 days before Christmas, may God use this story to strengthen us in our waiting and in our longing. And may we, like Mary and Elizabeth, celebrate Jesus coming to us and the work of God within us and others with joy, with laughter, with song and astonishment. May it be so. Amen.